Good evening, everyone. Hey, I wanted to give you a little sneak peek on what we're going to be hanging on the doors as we do a prayer walk through the communities back here. It's one of these right here, and we're letting the community know that we prayed for them and letting them know that they are loved. You know, there's a lot of people out there who do not know that anyone cares about them. They don't know that they are loved, and there's actually quite a few people that don't know that we're a church. They think we're still a movie theater. So we got to get the word out. It's kind of a soft invite. It doesn't even expressly say, come to our church. We're just letting them know, hey, we love you, we love this community, and we are praying for you. So there's a front side and a back side. Maybe I'll set this over by the sign-up sheet in the back after church so you can take a look and see what that looks like. Hallelujah. Pastor Brenda did an amazing job on Sunday. Who was here on Sunday? Yeah, was that all right? Did she do okay? I think she did so good, she inspired the message tonight, actually. Our message tonight is entitled, As I Have Loved You. Quote from Jesus, As I Have Loved You. Does anybody know the rest? As I have loved you, so love one another. Come on, amen, amen. Let's go ahead and open up with prayer and see what the Holy Spirit speaks tonight. Hallelujah. We honor you, faithful God. We thank you for the way that you love us. We thank you for sending your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty of our sin debt on the cross, to give his life for us, to pour out his blood so that we can become sons and daughters of God, so we can be brought into your family, faithful King. We honor what you have done for us, and we ask that tonight that you would give us a greater understanding, that you would open our eyes, Lord, to see clearly more of the great width and depth and height of your love, this love that surpasses knowledge, God. Be glorified in this time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Brenda did an amazing job on Sunday. That was a great word. I don't know if you guys heard, but somebody was being really distracting right over here on the front row. Did anybody hear what was happening over here? Oh, my goodness. My wife is in the back over there. Hi, Evelyn. Hi, sweetie pie. And she's holding one of our sons, Josiah, our youngest. He'll be 3 months old tomorrow, baby. What? He's growing up. Our other son, Gabriel, is in with the children's right now. But Josiah's up here on the front row with us on Sunday, and he's over here going, hoo, aku. And then people over here on the side of the church are making faces at him, and he's just calling back to him. And I know Pastor Mark could hear it too, because he's looking down at us and he's laughing and giving us a thumbs up. So I hope it wasn't too distracting for you. It was distracting for me. So I said, babe, you're sitting in the back. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're totally welcome to sit in the front tonight, babe. But the little guy was kind of distracting. It was a lot of fun. But from what I did hear of the message, and actually we have notes for the message already at the table in the back, it was outstanding. Talk about the love that God has for us. And how amazing, how beyond comprehension this love is. And Pastor Brenda talked about how God is love. Wow. God is love. And you know, everything that God does, all of his motivation behind all of his actions, his motivation is love. Every time. Every time. Everything that you read about the character of God in here, all the acts of God that you see in here, they are all based upon love. And some people are like, well, God seemed a lot different in the Old Testament than he does in the New Testament. I think I like the New Testament God more than the old one. Hey, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And the only way that we're able to receive this mercy and grace of God is because of what he did in sending his son. You see, what's so beautiful about the cross is it's an awesome display of both God's justice and his mercy, showing God's grace and God's love, because there had to be a price paid for sin. We were all guilty, for all have sinned, and all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. The Bible says there was none righteous, not even one. The Bible says that our righteous acts and deeds, they're like filthy rags before the Lord. No one could stand before God confidently based upon what they have done. We all needed a Savior. And because of God's great love for us, while we were dead in sin, while we were separated from God, he demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he sent his son to die for us. Amen. to make a way where there was no way. The Bible says that the people who don't have God, they're without God and without hope in the world. The only hope that anyone has is only found in Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It is through the name of Jesus only. And people think, well, if I just live a good life, if I just, you know, if I'm kind to people and if I do all these good deeds, it's not enough. It is only through Jesus. He is the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through Him. And everything that you see Jesus do when He walked the earth, He did in love. And He told the disciples, if you've seen Me, then you have seen the Father. Amen? Amen. So we were looking into the great love of God. And this scripture right here in John chapter 13, 34, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. And He's talking about a new command that He is giving them. This great command. And it sounds similar to a different one, but there's a little twist on it. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so love one another. And you see, the command that they said before when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? And He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus said, I'm going to switch things up a little bit. I'm not telling you to love your neighbor as yourself anymore. I'm taking it farther. He goes, I'm giving you a new command. And He says, as I have loved you, so love one another. Do you see what He did? He raised the standard. He raised the bar with this love that is beyond our own ability. You see, the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God enables us to love like Jesus has loved us. And Jesus says, as I have loved you, the title of this message, as I have loved you, so love one another. And Pastor Brenda painted a beautiful picture of how much God loves us. How has God loved us? God has loved us in a way where He stepped down from His high place. And He came down to get on our level, taking on our appearance as a man and becoming a servant. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Amen. Our God loved us in such a way where He left His high position to come to a low position to bring us out of the mire and out of the muck that we were stuck in. That's how God has loved us. How has God loved us? He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's saying the love that I have for you, it will never end. It goes on and on and on. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you in everything that you go through. He has loved us so much that He said there was nothing that can separate us from His love. If we look over at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 38 and 39. He says, this is Paul talking. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, keep going. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This love will never end. This love continues. This love never fails. It cannot be conquered. And the love that God has for you is steadfast, faithful, and sure. Amen. The love that God has for us, how has He loved us? He has loved us sacrificially. He has loved us eternally. While we were still in sin, He died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our stuff together. You know, a lot of people feel like that. I'll come to God once I clean my life up first. I'm too messy. They say, if I walk into the church is going to catch on fire. And I say, you don't know the love of God, and you don't know the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The power of the blood of Jesus that can wash white as snow, that can cleanse all guilt and all shame. The blood of Jesus that speaks mercy on your behalf. Don't wait to clean up your life to come to God. That's like taking a shower before you take a bath or getting cleaned off to take a shower. No, you come to God and He's the one who cleanses you. He does the work that you can't do on your own. You see, it takes humility to come before Him and to say, God, I can't do life on my own. I can't get my act together. I need your help and I need your mercy, God. And that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord with that kind of humility, they shall be saved. Amen? God has loved us in this great way. He has valued us and He has purchased us. And He has loved us in such a way when we were far from Him, He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to wash them clean and then help them, you know, they'll just be good people. He goes, no, I'm going to adopt them into my family. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Yeah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Hallelujah, Jesus. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished. Does that sound like a little bit? That sounds like a lot of bit. Come on. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. He brought us into His family. He has called us His own, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it didn't know Him. God says, I have changed your entire nature. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. This newness of life is you being made in the image of God, is you becoming a child of God. He loved us so much, He brought us into His family. And this next scripture is hard for people to grasp. It's in the Bible and still they don't believe it. People who have been saved for a long time have a very hard time with this scripture. And they think, well, maybe it means something a little different. I don't know if I could accept that scripture because it just seems too much. It goes too far. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 23. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. And He says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. This is Jesus, this is part of His prayer, but I want you to focus on this last part. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And have loved them in the same way that you have loved me. This is Jesus talking, and Jesus is saying that the Father loves us as much as He loves Jesus. Can you come to grips with that? Can you see that? That Jesus, eternal, without beginning and without end, always reigning with the Father in glory, never sinned, perfect unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Come on. And Jesus is saying that the Father loves us. The Father loves you as much as He loves Jesus. What should that do for us? Hallelujah. We talked on Sunday how that should give you confidence. That should give you boldness to approach God's throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When you know that God loves you, when you know that He loves you as much as He loves Jesus, then you know that He who did not withhold His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? That we're serving a God who does not withhold, but He wants to lavish His love and His goodness and His grace. He wants to lavish all that He is upon you. He is not withholding from you. A lot of times we're withholding from Him. But if you will give yourself completely to Him, unreservedly, you will experience His love and His goodness in your life. He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw close to you. Amen. Hallelujah. He is not withholding. He loves you as much as He loves Jesus. He is giving you all of Himself. He has called you His children. He has called you His bride. He has called you into Himself. To be one with Christ in spirit. Wow. How great is the love the Father has towards us. And how great is the love that Jesus has shown us. He says, as I have loved you. And we just spoke about that. Now he goes, I'm commanding you. Love one another in the same way. Love one another in the same way. Go from your place of dignity to step down into other people's mess to help them. Not considering yourself better than anyone, but in humility considering others better than yourself. Hallelujah. To see the way that the Father and the Son have loved you, and to realize this is the command that Jesus gave before he went to the cross. Love one another. Love one another. This is my command for you. So after church on Sunday, we got together with the young adults. We had a good time. Who was there, young adults? Where you at? Come on. Woo woo. We got a couple here tonight. All right. And we had some great discussion about the message that day on the love of God. And then I thought a great question came up, actually. And the person goes, can we ask a question? Is this open for discussion? I said, yeah, go ahead. So he goes, all right, so here's a scenario for you, and I just want to know, what's our response? Because we were talking about how the love of God takes away all condemnation, takes away all shame. It enables you to be bold and confident in life, right? We said that condemnation is a confidence killer. And so when you're walking with God, you realize how much he loves you. It emboldens you to live your life and to go for things, to seek for greater things in your life. And so the person asked, I got a scenario for you. He goes, what if you're on the job, or maybe it's in your family, it could be at school, but there's just somebody there and they are just always riding you. You can't do anything right. They're wishing for your failure, and whatever you do is not good enough. They criticize every little thing that you do. Have you guys ever worked with somebody like that before? You couldn't do something good enough. They're constantly nagging you or trying to get on your case. Maybe they're slandering you to the other people who work there. Maybe some of you grew up in a family where you couldn't do anything right. Nothing that you did, said, or accomplished was good enough. And it was like, well, it could have been better. And so this person's like, what if you are constantly living with somebody like that in your life? And they're putting you down all the time and criticizing everything you do and just harassing you. What do you do in that kind of situation? And I love the responses that we were getting from the group. They're like, well, you know what? Like the scriptures we read today, you write those things down. You stand on those scriptures. You put them in your mouth and you declare how much the Father loves you, how you are accepted in the beloved. And we're quoting scriptures and it was great. Other ones were saying, oh, you know what you got to do? Get some other Christians around you and get people who know you so that they'll speak life and they'll help build you up. Right? Iron sharpening iron to help you stand firm in the midst of this affliction and people coming against you. And as they're talking, I feel like the Holy Spirit's bringing another aspect of it too. And so what I said, well, I said, you know what? If they're coming at you like that, then you come at them twice as hard. Then you call out all the wrong things that they're doing and you say, you know what? You're going to come at me one way, but you're going to flee from me in seven. You're going to go and you're going to call down fire like the sons of thunder, James and John. Call down fire on them, right? That's what we're supposed to do, right? Because we're strong Christians, and how dare they approach the Lord's anointed, right? How dare they come? Do they not realize I'm a child of God and you're going to criticize what I do? You're going to answer to God one day for that. Is that what we do as Christians? Do you all remember the sons of thunder? Do you remember what they did? Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. I mean, his face is set like flint. He is going there. He's going to accomplish his passion. And they're going to be going through Samaria. And then what happens as they're going to go through? They reject Jesus. You can't go through here. We know where you're going. No, don't even try it. You can't pass through our city. So the sons of thunder are like, you're talking about my Lord like that? Do you realize this is the King of glory? This is the Messiah to come. He goes, Jesus, should we call down fire on this city? And what was Jesus' response? That's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? He goes, they're disrespecting me. I'm the Son of God. No, he said, you don't know what spirit you are of. Hallelujah. Do you know the spirit that you have been marked with? The spirit that you have been sealed with for eternity? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. And he says that he has come into the world to save it, not to condemn it. Remember John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would put their faith in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to do what? To condemn the world. You know, a lot of people, when they meet Christians, they think that's what God is all about, which is not a good testimony. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. Through his sacrifice, through his blood, through his demonstration of love. That they would see that there is hope because God sent his son to die for me. Because God made a way for me. Jesus is saying, you don't know what spirit you are of. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. This isn't a parable. This is what's going to happen. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, this is something that will happen, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. This isn't a parable. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me. This is Jesus speaking. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or imprisoned and go visit you? The king will reply. Jesus will say this on that day when he returns. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You see, Jesus takes it very, very personal. And if we go on reading, we're going to see Jesus address the people on his left, the one who are going to be like the goats separated off. And he's going to say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, because I was hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison, sick, and you didn't care about me. You didn't look after me. You didn't come to me. You considered yourself better than me. And they're going to say, Lord, when did we see you like that? And he's going to say, when you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it for me. He takes it very personal. And he has commanded, as I have loved you, so love one another. Hallelujah. Look at the defining factor of Christianity. Love is a defining factor of who we are. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, like those people at work or those people in your family or the people at school, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Does anybody do taxes in here? No, I'm just kidding. It's not that kind of a person. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What distinguishes you from the world around you? What makes you different from everybody else? Actually, if we look at our scripture that we started with, John chapter 13, 34, we're going to read 35 right after it. John 13, 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you," title of tonight's message, "so you must love one another." Next verse. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." This is what defines you as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus. It's not the amount of scripture you can quote. It's not how blessed you are. Jesus doesn't even say it's because you walk in miraculous power. He's saying the way the world will know that you're my disciples, because as I have loved you sacrificially, humbly, as I came down and pulled you out of darkness, I didn't wait for you to get better. As I have loved you, so love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples. Amen. Is your love seen? Is it recognized? And how is it recognized? Because the people who treat you good, you treat good. But the people who treat you bad, you treat them the same? Or you just ignore them? Or you brush them off? What is the difference? What separates you from the world? You have the love of God pour out in your heart. You've been accepted into the family of God through no work of your own. Freely, you have received the love of God. Freely, give this love. Freely, give this love. I want to talk to you guys for a little bit about Big Bubba. His name was not really Big Bubba, but that's what we're going to call him tonight. This is a true story with a different name. I don't know if I've told you this before. So if I did, you're going to hear it again. So, and Big Bubba's got a different name this time. So, I'm at Bible college, right? I'm over at Rhema Bible Training Center at the time. And I'd already done 2 years. Now I'm in third year. And this third year is a group called Pastoral Ministry. And we're like the seniors of the school, right? It's a cool spot to be. You got some extra responsibility. People are looking up to you. It's nice. These are people who stuck around for an extra year, the third year. And these are the people who are looking to love on people through the pastoral ministry. So I'm part of this group, and there's this guy, Big Bubba, and I don't know why this guy is in the pastoral group. I mean, should a pastor like people? Right? You would think if you're going into pastoral ministry, maybe you care about people. But Big Bubba, don't ever try to give him a hug. Don't even tap him on the shoulder or say, "Hey, what's up?" or give him a fist bump. You don't touch Big Bubba. And he'll let you know if you ever do. "What are you doing, man? Get away." Big Bubba was a big man. And I'm like, "What is he doing in this class? What are you doing?" And so anyway, everybody already knew. You don't mess with Big Bubba. He got along okay with certain people. And then somehow he had a girlfriend. I'm like, "For real? How? He's hateful." No. So anyway, I'm kind of surprised. And so anyway, Big Bubba, he gets along okay with some people. He has a girlfriend that I guess cares for him. But something about Caleb, he did not like me. As far as I know, I never did anything wrong to him. But my presence was offensive to him. He could not stand me. The only time he ever talked to me was to try to rebuke me, to try to say I'm doing something wrong or just get on my case. When I would get up to preach in our class, because we'd all take turns, he would walk out of the door. Big Bubba did not like little Caleb. I'm like, "What is up with, oh my goodness, Lord." Oh well, who cares? So one day, there was no assigned seating. So you could sit wherever you want in class, but you know, people are creatures of habit, right? So most everybody sits in the same place every time, but I don't, because I don't want to be a creature of habit. So I want to sit in different places, and I was friends with everybody in class. almost. And so anyway, I sit down. I remember, oh, there's some people in the back of the class I haven't sat by yet. So I go and I sit down in this spot. And I'm at class early. Little did I know, I'm sitting right next to Big Bubba's desk. And so he comes over and he sits down. And I'm sitting down. I'm like, oh my goodness. I had no idea. I was thinking about the people over here to the right. I wasn't thinking about Big Bubba to the left. And so I'm sitting there and he just leans over and he goes, I don't want any of that foolishness today. Don't give me any of that foolishness. And he's like, I mean, loud. His eyes are popping out of his head. And you got, this is third year pastors. We were having pastors from around the area come and speak to us. And there's no Rhema staff there. There's not a pastor from Rhema in class. It's just this guest minister's coming in. So he comes in as this is going on. He's like, I don't want any of that foolishness today. And I'm like, Big Bubba, what are you talking about? And then, so here's the guest minister, and he's like, is there a problem here? And I'm thinking, well, there's a problem, but not something we have to bring out in front of the whole class. So I said, no, there's no problem. And he goes, yeah, there is. And so he goes, well, if there's a problem, then maybe one of you should move. And I'm thinking, I don't have a problem. So we sit there, the whole class. And you can cut it with a knife. It is so awkward. Oh, I feel bad for that teacher, for that pastor who came through. That, I mean, just such an awkward situation. And it was like the pinnacle of just all this disrespect all year, all this negativity, all this coming against me, did nothing to the guy. And then this was just kind of like too far, right? So after class, the other students are like, Caleb, we know. Caleb, come on, just sit by me, please. Come on, Caleb. So I come over and I go and I talk. I end up going into the dean's office. I think I was called in there. And they're like, Caleb, look, we know. We've gotten so many complaints about this guy. But, you know, just, can you just not sit by the guy? All right, fine. So I go home from school that day, and I go to my apartment, and I'm starting to feel it in here. You know what I'm talking about? That root of bitterness. I'm starting to feel it develop in my stomach. I'm starting to feel mad, offended. I'm taking offense. And as I feel it start to build inside of me, I get down on my knees and I pray.
Amen.
I don't want to let this thing in. Do not allow this root of bitterness to spring up and defile many.
That's right.
So I get down and I start praying. And I'm like, God, I don't know what happened in Big Bo's life. I don't know why he is the way that he is. But God, I just pray, Lord, that you would help him. I pray that you would bring healing into his heart. I pray that walls would fall down. I just begin to pray for Big Bubba because I don't want to allow this thing inside of me. So I just begin to pray for him, get up. I go to school the next day. Nothing changed out here. Everything changed in here. Everything changed in here. I look at the guy. I felt genuine affection for this guy. My brother. I couldn't say that because he would get very angry with me. But I'm just like, still, you know, walking out of class, still, I mean, being offensive, but I'm like, wow. It doesn't affect me at all. And so anyway, like a week or several weeks later, over the course of several weeks or months, I have a couple dreams where Big Bubba's in the dream. And in the dream, Big Bubba and I, we give each other a big hug. And I'm like, huh. Yeah, right. That's ever going to happen. You don't even touch Big Bubba, and nobody hugs Big Bubba. So anyway, time goes on, and then it's the end of the school year, and the teacher asks the people, hey, you know, does anybody want to speak on what's going on in your life this year, or anything like that? So people are sharing, and Big Bubba gets up, and he goes, you know, maybe a lot of you guys don't know this, but man, I've been going through heart surgery, not physically, but on the inside. He goes, God has just been doing a work in my heart and just clearing all this stuff out. And as he's talking about the work that God did inside of him, I felt like the Holy Spirit told me this. I was able to do that because you prayed for him. I was able to work to bring healing, to wash away pains, to root out bitterness. Because you took the time to pray for somebody that you felt offended at. it hit me so hard.
Yeah.
Wow, God. So many times we allow offense to just get in there and we just let it remain. But Jesus has said, as I have loved you, as I have loved you. So the school year ends and we go to this wedding and everybody's dressed up and stuff, and Big Bubba was invited to the wedding. And as I'm walking by, I see Big Bubba and his girlfriend. I think they were engaged at this time. What? I think they're engaged. And so I see them trying to take a selfie, but you know, Big Bubba's kind of big. So I say, hey, can I help you out with that? And Big Bubba says, no, it's okay. But his lady goes, yeah, please. So I come over and I get a picture, snap, snap, click, click. All right, there you go. And she goes, I want to get a picture of you two together. Seriously, as I go to stand by Big Bubba, what's going through my mind is, if he hits me right now, what am I going to do? All right. What am I going to do? I mean, should I turn the other cheek? Should I turn his cheek? No. So I go and I'm just like, awkward, standing by him. And as I'm standing there, I feel this arm go around me. I'm like, here it comes. The guy puts his arm around me like this, leans in for a picture. Are you kidding me? Hesitantly, you know, just kind of smiling back. And then my dream came true. Big Bubba turns and gives me a hug. Are you kidding me? Whoa. I mean, amazing. My dream, my couple dreams came true right there. But look what God was able to do. What separates us from the world? What distinguishes us? If we will live in this one great command to love, not to love those who are deserving, not to love those who treat you good, but to love those and to bless those and to do good to those who hate you and despitefully misuse you and slander you, those people who are riding you and wanting to crush you. It makes it so when you pray for them, it allows God to get in there and open things up and bring healing and bring restoration. That's one story. I've had several of them because for some reason, some people just don't like me. I don't know why. They're lost. No. So there's so much that God wants to do in the world. But God moves when we pray. God has set it up in this way where he requires us to pray if he's going to move. Maybe we don't want that kind of responsibility, but that is what God has called us to. I want to read one more scripture. I know I'm going a little bit over time. This is Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, come on, may have power. When you're established in love, it's connected to power. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It is incomprehensible, the love that God has for us. Now listen, when you get a revelation of this love of God and you begin to grasp this love of God, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When you get a revelation of this love, and this revelation just doesn't come by reading the Bible, this revelation comes by living this life of love.
Come on.
Revelation comes in the work, in the doing of it. When you live out this life of love and you're loving people who are just nasty towards you, you're going to have a revelation of God and you're going to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of him. And there is nothing satisfying like that. It is not worth to take offense to not know that. Let go of all the offense, Let go of every unforgiveness. Forgive everyone who has wronged you. Bless the ones in your life that are an irritation for you. And watch how God fills you with Himself. Before I step off, we have these in the back, right by where you can pick up the notes for Sunday's message. This is Love Confessions. These are, it actually leads you through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and the Amplified makes it personal so you could read it over yourself. Has a lot of amazing love scriptures on the back. Build yourself up in love. Amen. Build yourself up with the Word of God that describes what the love of God is like, so that you can live out this command: as I have loved you, so love one another. Amen.
Amen. Amen.